Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Uber, the app-based ride-sharing company, is attempting to step up their game with a series of coupons or discount incentives. Their business model is so strong that their latest strategy is to price match any competitor that can exploit workers better. They're price matching worker exploitation. They're betting that they can weather a temporary loss in profit margins, or perhaps even be unprofitable for some short period of time, in order to increase their market share and defeat their competitors.
So for just a holistic viewpoint, let me walk you down the problem with something like Uber. So if it's a startup and it's small, there's not a lot of overhead. But as it grows, there's lots and lots of overhead. What happens to a very large company like Uber is they either have to cut their workforce to handle the margins after it's matured, which they did, or they have to get more and more users to join in order to cover the expanding cost of everything. What I mean by that is, their cloud infrastructure, their software updates, right, their unit testing, their highfalutin management, all their testers, all this nonsense, all the cost just to move funds around is probably eating up 3% of their actual gross margins every year. Just because it's, the Visa's probably fucking them hard to move money around. But at the end of the day, they have to either, again, expand the whole market or cut costs. And if you've already cut costs and you've already squeezed as much blood from a rock as possible, what's the next step? You've got to expand your base. But what if we told you that they've already expanded and saturated to as much as they can saturate and there's really nothing left besides to bring back old users and try to just grab market share by essentially rebating as much as they can? True innovation in capitalism.
So this is the growth versus no growth, or doing something as efficiently as possible. So Uber is, you're arguing, past the point at which they are going to see growth. The market is 100% saturated, and in order to remain competitive, they need to do what they do better and more efficiently.
Yes.
And their solution to doing it better and more efficiently is going to be to cannibalize their competitors by offering shit at below cost to literally kill their competition, because their competition will be insolvent because you can't do some of this stuff at the cost that they're doing it.
You can't.
Absolutely. But Uber doesn't give a shit, because their entire scheme is to drive away competition. And in driving away competition, they will increase their market share. And if you have 100% of the entire market, or 50%, or however you want to quantify it, and you're locked in, that's a good perpetual cash cow. And I think that's what they're attempting to do at this point.
So what happens when you are driving away your competition? I hate you for that.
There needs to be more synergy, and we really need to refocus and collaborate to achieve ends that are beneficial to all stakeholders.
And in fact, we're not doing our shareholders justice unless we're getting the most return for them. What happens if you penetrate 80, 90% of the market? There's no real growth because you have holdouts who will never transition over. And what I mean by that is you cannot take all the taxi drivers away. You cannot get rid of all the Lyft. You cannot get rid of all the competition, because there's just no way to do that. So they've probably hit peak adoption. And the issue is, with something like the gig economy or worker exploitation, which is essentially, we argued before, just capitalism making exploitation available to everybody. So it's like you sharing slaves or sharing, your house servants amongst a group of people, right? That's the efficiency model now. So what happens now is that everybody has every app installed on their phone because everybody's made it easy to use it. And now you have every driver has multiple people that they drive for. So really the game now is, how do you maintain the user? You either maintain it by having more efficient use cases so people can get picked up faster or dropped off. You maintain them by having a better user interface, but you also maintain them by having a cheaper rate. And the only way to do that is to basically rebate and cut and cut and cut until somebody blinks, and the person that blinks loses.
From a technological perspective, Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and whatever other companies are doing the on-demand transportation stuff, there's really a physical limit to efficiency here. You have to have a car within a certain proximity, and then they have to drive it in an efficient route. That's a solved problem from a technical perspective. It's the traveling salesman problem, but you can approximate it. It's close enough, it's good enough, whether you can optimize away 12 seconds from a ride by doing this, that, or the other thing, like, who gives a shit? The consumer doesn't care.
Yeah. And in fact, in the old days, taxi cabs basically did that because they had communication between each other to know what the hottest routes were. So they naturally took care of it just through communication channels. Because as employees of a company, you had communication among dispatch and yourself. Uber is attempting to get rid of the dispatch by making it digital, automating that portion of it, which is actually inefficient in itself because now you have people competing for rides, so you may actually dispatch rides in competition to one another, like at the airport. People just sit there and wait for you to like pick them in like random lottery instead of out driving somewhere else. Or bar time. Same idea. So it's actually fairly inefficient because they're trying to, I don't even know what. I don't even know what they're trying to do besides launder money for the Saudis. I have no idea really what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
The technological perspective on this has created different incentives for the drivers. The driver, like you said, is incentivized to go sit at an airport.
Yep.
So airport transportation might be more efficient, but transportation from some other random place is going to be less efficient. But Uber has already stamped out the competition, so now you're stuck waiting for an Uber, so it actually takes longer.
And guess what, rural America? Guess who doesn't give a shit about you? Uber. Guess what, suburban America, who's slightly rural suburban? Uber doesn't give a shit about you. It costs you more money. Why? Because you're inefficiency. Driver picking up from the airport and driving you out to the middle of nowhere is going to be real pissed off with you because there's nobody else to pick up the fare on the way back in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of like 1,000 person county. So there are reasons why this exists and there's this all this exploitation. This whole episode now is about worker exploitation, the limits of growth and exploitation, and there's really nowhere left to go because there's I think there's a couple trials of disillusionment. So if you look at like the hype models, you get this idea of peak gig and now we're going to the trough. Why? Because everybody that signed up as a driver that was doing good and making a ton of money signed up when Lyft and Uber were new. But now that there's all these new drivers who have bought vehicles, right? They bought vehicles in order to be Lyft drivers or Uber drivers. Now there's more competition, which means rates are lower because that's how competition works. And now you're seeing them shift over to things like grocery services. But guess what? Now there's Uber groceries or whatever, Uber Eats or whatever. Then there's Shipt. There's a bunch of other gig grocery. So once that saturates, what's the next one? Dog walking maybe? Basically, the gig economy just fluctuates in until like every market saturated with low-income workers who are working two or three jobs at a time. It's no different than somebody who is a nanny for multiple families or a babysitter for multiple families or the backyard mechanic who tries to do as many odds and end jobs as possible or the odds and end handyman that's trying to just do anything, right, to make money. That's essentially what this gig economy is workers are willing to do whatever it takes to make money, and all the gig economy does is allow them to attach to an app to do it, and that's why we think we are at peak gig economy. That's our theory.
So transitioning a little bit to the gig economy being an improvement on capitalism from a kind of economic system perspective, we're going to look at this in terms of slavery. So slavery in the 1800s, you had your capitalist who had to provide room and board to slaves, provide food, medical, because they had incentives to keep their slaves alive.
Yep.
All that shit costs money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There was an incurred overhead as part of getting rid of slavery. You no longer have to spend money on housing, on food, on medicine for the people that are doing work that you are exploiting. It's all externalized. So now you have capitalism, which has arguably always existed, but capitalism without slavery is still effectively slavery, but the exploitation part has been externalized. Enter the gig economy. It's the same thing. Why would we need a company that is providing a persistent venue for one individual to work at a given place whose labor can be exploited when we could have a centralized system like Uber where many workers could go and sign up and have their labor be exploited as efficiently as possible?
Which comes back to us. Again, we don't like slavery. What we're saying is there was real devastation to fight and get rid of slave ownership, but there wasn't any real fight to end capitalistic slavery, right? Indentured servitude. Your student debt, your house payments, your need to eat, the need to have food and water, all that, that's basically forced you to work. And some of us win the lottery and some of us lose the lottery on what jobs you can pick based on what schools you went to and based on what colleges you got into and based on, you know, a whole bunch of nonsense. Those that didn't win the lottery, the sense is what it is, because capital gets to choose who gets the scholarship and capital gets to choose who gets to move on to the next round in college, have to do something like a gig economy, or fight to live, or work in manufacturing. And eventually slavery would have went away because it would have been an unsustainable model purely from economics. Because assuming that slavery would have maintained itself, but the North would have automated and the North would have done all these things against slavery, that technology would eventually went to the South, making slavery, like, non-economical.
The economic model to support slavery was inefficient in the South, and the North figured this out. They figured out how to do exploitation without having the overhead. Like, that was the Civil War, basically.
And the North already had the Industrial Revolution type of indentured servitudes. I mean, you look at what England did. England already had the very same slavery, only they didn't have people they owned. They just owned you in debt. I mean, please, sir, may I have another from Oliver? That's literal debt servitude. The workhouses for the orphans, literal slavery. But it wasn't ownership. It was just slavery. The 13th Amendment that says you can't have slavery, but you have to go, like, stamp plates or fire jump in California. Like, literal slavery. So the economic model has just shifted. The slavery still exists. We don't call it slavery. We say it's capitalism, but it's literal slavery. Capitalism is slavery.
And Uber is attempting to saturate the market to make every small service job convertible into a slavery model, where every single action is commoditized and the margin is as small as possible.
Because they are based purely on the volume of transactions. That's how they make their money, is volumes. It's not by quality, it's all quantities. Same thing as Robinhood, same thing as Cash App, right? They only trade you high volume trades because Robinhood takes a penny or Cash App takes a penny, whatever it happens to be, right? That transaction is not free. There is something behind the scenes. Cash App costs you a penny, right? If I get 1,000 people to trade, that's not a lot of money, right? It's 10 bucks. But if I get 10,000 people to trade 10 times a day, well, now we're starting to make money. It's $100, right? So you can see it's scaling. So now we start to see, we just use Cash App for all your purchases and all that stuff and give money to your kids and or give money to your friends and family. And now you have people who are doing multiple transactions a day, millions of times. And now that penny is $100,000 a day in literal, like, profit. Plus, if you store money on them, they're going to hold interest on you. Even if it's low interest, they're going to hold interest on that money. You're not. They are. Just like the stock ownership. Like, you don't own the stock at Cash App. You own the stock, but they actually own the stock.
They have the voting rights.
They just allowed it to you. They have the voting rights. They own the stock. They're giving you the allotment of that stock to you in a fractional share because they actually own the stocks. Like, you don't own them. They're just a transactionary unit that they hold it. You get to pretend that you own it.
You're like a proxy owner.
You're a proxy owner, but you don't really own it. Again, everything in your life is being commoditized. And we can go through a list of everything, right? We can talk about food. Fine, you got to buy food. We talked about rentals. You got to rent or buy your house, right? We can talk about other stuff like clothing. Your water, right? Transportation now, right? With Uber, right? Every second, your fucking plasma in your blood is commoditized. Give blood. Young people should give blood so old people can feel better. Like, what the fuck is that?
Young people should give blood because it's free and the blood banks will literally commoditize and sell your blood to other blood banks.
Yep. And the rich people who say, I want plasma from young people will think it's a miracle. That literally happens.
Uber exists because it provides a mechanism by which people that are unemployed or underemployed can make a secondary income that supplements whatever their other income is. It puts them just into the I have enough food to eat camp. You don't see Bill Gates driving around in an Uber because it's fun or it's entertaining. You might see dumbasses like Elon Musk say, oh, I'm being an Uber driver because I'm a fucking idiot. But that's all just PR bullshit.
It's all PR.
Nobody that has any money is driving Uber. Like, think about that for a second. Nobody who has money is driving Uber or Lyft or doing service-oriented tasks for other people that are hugely unprofitable for them. You have to incur wear and tear on your car. You have to drive around. It, like, the margins are not high. You're doing it because you need some nominal amount of money.
Yep.
It's a way you can do it because you don't have another option.
Basically allows you to be exploited if you're willing to be exploited.
That's what Uber enables. Another entity that enables this exploitation is governmental job boards and job postings. So let's say I'm an individual and I would like to make some more money. I have the choice. I can go work for Uber and be exploited, but reasonably certain likelihood that if I do X amount of work, I will be compensated for it in some fashion. Or I could go and try and find another job. I'm going to go to my county job posting board and look around. Well, if you go to one of these government-hosted, basically, job boards where there's supposed to be a government helping people seek employment. It's all just exploitable labor. It's managers in service areas. It's fast food restaurants. It's a big box store, checkout, clerks, stocking. The government is providing a literal pipeline that helps place citizens into corporate jobs in which they can be exploited. The government isn't creating jobs that are beneficial to society or the person. They're just a pass-through funneling humans into the thresher that is corporate exploitation.
And here's the kicker. Then they pass laws saying that your unemployment is tied to you going to these jobs. So if you don't do them, you can't actually get your unemployment, or you can't get your Medicaid, you can't get your anything that you actually need to survive. So then they force you to work, and that is the trick. Back to slavery. They literally force you to work or you'll die, and that's why capitalism is slavery, because there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about it in present state material conditions. Now, we're hoping that there is something to do about it. That's why we have this podcast where we walk and meander everywhere. But it's really trying to prepare everybody for the idea that under capitalism, you are a slave, and the only way to not be a slave is to end capitalism.
Because most governments in the United States are neoliberal, the incentives are put forth by the government to ensure that the workforce is exploited. And you see that with stuff like means testing on unemployment. For example, the county maintains the website that has all the jobs. Who do you think submits jobs to the job board? It's the corporations that have an incentive to submit jobs. And do you think the people that are deciding whether to post those jobs might have some sort of incentive to appease the corporations that are providing these jobs? Because then they can say that we work with businesses to facilitate employment, and then everybody goes, rah, rah, rah. Oh my God, you're so good. You're such a good politician. You work with small businesses and corporations to boost employment. This is so great. And it's part of just the framing of what this exploitation is the more you exploit, the better it is.
Well, the Chamber of Commerce and other, you know, economic growth committees are filled with dickhead small business owners, quote unquote, or neoliberal bootlickers who literally believe that what they're doing is helping people, because they are so entrenched in capitalism that they can't actually see it's harmful. Or they believe some other bullshit, which is like, oh, it'll make you a better person, or God says if you work then you're a good person, or basically like everybody in the county that's neoliberal, all the external groups are neoliberal, all these third parties are like, oh, we need to help our homeless veterans get jobs. They're all neoliberals who just help placate capital and force slavery amongst the population. That's why they exist. They only exist to keep the pipeline going for exploitable work.
So the ethos of the American workforce is, I'm not productive if I'm not being exploited. So you see these neoliberal ghouls like the Chamber of Commerce say that I am truly improving society by enabling this individual to be exploited.
Yep.
That is unironically what their belief is, and they think they are being helpful.
Yep.
And it's fucking wild. If I can take this homeless vet and provide employment whereby their labor can be exploited, I have improved their life. And it's like, well, have you? Because this person's probably homeless because they were tasked with doing the fucking horrible shit of imperialism, and they're traumatized. Like, that's the underlying problem there. So maybe address that instead of putting them in a box where they can be exploited, but some rich ruling class asshole is making money, so it's great.
Quite honestly, the people that believe this shit have never been told that what they're doing is stupid. They literally haven't been told they're stupid. And that's because there's these weird cliche sayings like, you don't know what you don't know, and all these dumbass things. But what it comes down to is that language matters and concepts and ideas matter. And if you don't have the constructs in your head as to why what you're doing is fucking dumb, you're never going to be able to see that what you're doing is dumb, because you never take the time to think about why what you're doing is dumb. It's up to us to teach them why this is stupid. Because at the end of the day, the gig economy is stupid. It doesn't help anybody. It's pure exploitation. The job boards don't help anybody. It's pure exploitation. All the county groups that are saying we want everybody employed, it's not helping anybody. It's pure exploitation. Because all they really care about at the end of the day is making sure that their corporate masters get what they want, which is exploitable labor.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.